Welcome to the One Church podcast. In this podcast, our prayer is that you'll encounter content that will instill hope, fortify your faith, offer practical real-life insights, spread the love of Jesus, and inspire you to fulfill your unique purpose. Now join us as we listen to this week's message.
We're starting a new series, and we're going to journey through the book of Ephesians. If you were not here on Friday night, we started the Bible study in the book of Ephesians, and I heard it was a powerful time of learning, and we can't wait to see how the Lord continues to lead and guide and grow the church and individuals through the study of the Word of God. How many are thankful for the Word of God? Amen? Just a simple Word of God. So today I want to piggyback on what we just heard. I didn't listen to the full video that Jackie had sent, but she touched on the heart of this series. The heart of today's message is on identity. Our identity in Christ. You know, you may be like me certain days, certain moments that I'm wondering to myself, man, what am I here for? Like, has anyone ever asked that question? Like, what am I doing with my life? Anyone? Am I the only one? Is this what I was supposed to do? Is this what my life has come to? Is this my predicament? Is this my lot in life? Is this my value? Like, is there anything else? Is there anything different? Is there anything more? Has anyone ever had those questions go through your mind, or you've even asked yourself that question out loud? There are moments that I have asked it. There are moments that I do ask it. There are moments I'm sure I will ask it. But all those moments is a reminder to me to continue to find myself in not the identity that the world wants to place on us, not the identity that we want to give ourselves, not the identity that life puts on us, the labels, the responsibilities that we put on. Oh, yes, I am a child of God. That is great. But I think we put that to the side, and we also prioritize and bring to the top, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a mother, I'm a breadwinner, I'm a job work, I'm a worker, I'm an employee, I'm a boss, I own my own business, I have these dreams. All those titles and responsibilities probably creep up on the priority list of our identities. And the child of God identity kind of gets pushed aside or put down to the bottom. And all those other worldly labels and earthly identities get raised to the top, and we start to think, operate, talk, and our hearts get tuned in those realms. And I want to speak to myself and to all of us to find ourselves in the Word of God, especially through this letter that Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. That this is not a letter that Paul writes because there's a problem in the church of Ephesus. Like many other letters that he wrote, this is not a letter because there was a problem in the church of Corinth or there was a problem in the church of Thessalonica. This is not a letter specifically even to the church of Ephesus. You study it, you realize even in the original manuscripts that the title did not even say to the church in Ephesus, but to the region of Ephesus, the surrounding communities. There are many other churches, and the Ephesus church was just a prominent church. It was a focal point church because of Ephesus was a metropolitan, a focal point city, just like a New York City would be. Amen? We live in Long Island, but where do we say we're from? Right? Many other people lived around Ephesus, but they would probably say, I'm from Ephesus. I'm in Ephesus. And I want us to go through this book in Ephesians, the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, but predominantly to the region, and see how the Lord wants to speak to us. I need him to speak to me. And I want to ask all of you to have your Bibles out, not just today, every day, but have your Bibles out when you're especially in Bible study and in preaching, in the time of preaching in a Sunday service. Have your Bibles out. Have your heads up as well. Bibles up, unless you're reading. Don't catch up on your devotional on Sunday morning. Have your heads up, and let's dig into the Word of God. Amen? What is Paul saying to the church in Ephesus? Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus, but also to all of us today in 2024 and the present day church, that we are called as children of God. We are not called as Christians to blend into the realities of the world. And we are going to stand out and be different. And because we're going to stand out and be different, we can live an uncommon life. And if I was going to share, and you see the series title, Ephesians, Living the Uncommon Life. We've been talking the past several weeks, past couple of months, starting the new year, about living a life for signs, wonders, and miracles, and what it means to live a consecrated, set-apart life. And we're going to look at that even further today through this chapter. In this book of Ephesians, we're going to answer this question, especially today. Today's title is, Who Am I? If you're taking notes, we encourage you to take notes. The question before us today is, who am I? Our identity in Christ. Our identity in Christ gives us spiritual blessings or riches in Christ. It also talks about our position in Christ, who we are as a child of God in Christ. Not only the position, but the purpose of which we are in Christ. Why are we in Christ? For what purpose? Then also, how can we practice Christ or live out Christ in our daily life? Like I said before, Ephesians was a metropolitan city. Paul had traveled there multiple times, but on the second trip to Ephesus, he stayed there about 3 years. 3 years or so he stayed there. That's when you see in Acts chapter 19 that he had the 12 disciples of John came to him and encountered with them. He said that we were baptized, the baptism of John, but then he baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ and immediately laid his hands on them and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the baptism in water. Praise God. And thank God for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You need both. Baptism in water and baptism in the Holy Spirit. We need both. He taught there in the synagogue for 3 months. But after time passed and he was making some inroads, the locals started getting a little restless. Because Ephesus is known for the goddess of Diana. Someone say Diana. I hope there's no Dianas here. The goddess of Diana, and it was known for that goddess, and so many local merchants had become idol makers, building idols, making idols, little trinkets, little bobbleheads, little things, tchotchkes that they could take home in the form and in the fashion of the idol goddess Diana. And because Paul was coming and teaching the gospel and showing the power of Christ and bringing people and leading people to Jesus Christ, and people were, quote unquote, converting to Christianity and forsaking their idols, they were losing business. And they were getting restless because Paul was closing all their shops down. And they forced him out of town. They forced him to stop teaching. They forced him to stop sharing the gospel. They made a local uproar, and Paul had to leave for good. And in Acts chapter 20, you see that in verse 17 through 38, Paul finally meets with the elders of the church there. And he says, he has a meeting with them, and he charges them with the responsibility of the flock or the church that's been growing there and starting there. And with a tearful farewell, says, hey, listen, guys, you're in charge now. We're leaving. Paul is leaving. Paul, with tears in his eyes, lets it go and gives it into the hands of the people there and walks away and goes back and leaves. And he does this around 61 to 63 AD. After he left, he writes this letter in prison, but it was technically house arrest. How many of you would still serve the Lord in prison? How many of you still serve the Lord under house arrest? How many of us still serve the Lord now? With our crazy schedules. But he was still serving and ministering to God and his people from prison. He wrote 4 letters. The books of Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon were all written, along with the book of Ephesians, was all written while he was under house arrest. I want to encourage somebody, even no matter how bad you think your circumstances are, you can still serve the Lord and make an impact that will leave a lasting legacy, not just for your time, but for generations and centuries to come. Amen. Do not feel sorry for yourself. Do not wallow in self-pity, but pick up yourself, strap up those boots and say, I'm still going to do the work of the Lord. I don't care what I'm going through. I'm still going to do the work of the Lord. I'm thankful Paul made that decision because we have these letters. Like I shared earlier, it was not written just to a specific church. in Ephesus, it was written to the whole church and to us, one church, this Sunday morning and this season as well. If you look at the book of Ephesians, how many chapters does it have? Anyone know how many chapters? Shout it out. Six? Anyone else had any other numbers? Six. Okay, it's six. And it's beautifully split into two parts. The first part is chapters 1-3, and the second part is chapters 4-6. And I want to share this before I get into the meat of today's message, because I need to know that we all are on the same page on this chapter, on this book. In Ephesians chapter 1-3, you see the building up and the cementing of the gospel of knowing who we are in Christ. In chapters 4-6, because of this awareness, because of this knowledge, because of this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, now in chapters 4-6, we are challenged to live out our faith. This is having faith, and this is living out our faith. You guys see this? Chapters 1-3, chapters 4-6. Let me just share a few other things that we need to know about this difference in chapters 1-3 and 4-6. In the first half, you see our relationship to God. In the second half, you have our relationship to others. Relationship to God, meaning in Christ. Where is my relationship to God in Christ? My relationship to God. Here in the second half, you have my relationship to others. But that's in the Lord. Here is in Christ, because Christ gives us our relationship to God. Here is in the Lord, because our Lord, if he's the Lord of our life, that means he's the master of my life. He's going to lead my life, and he's sovereign over my life, and he rules my life. That is what Lord is. The Lord is not going to help you here. Christ will help you here, get that establishment of relationship this way, and the Lord will lead you here, so your relationship this way is honoring the Lord. In the first half, you have salvation worked in, and in the second half, you have your salvation worked out. In the first half, it's about the doctrine of the gospel. In the second half, it's about the duty of the gospel as a child of God. We have our beliefs, then we got to live it out. In the first half, it's what are we saved by? Many religions, if not all religions, say we have to do something to gain our salvation or gain our acceptance. But thank God in Christianity, it's not about us doing anything. We are not saved by our good works, but we are saved by the grace of God. And because we're saved by the grace of God, we can go into the second half and say, I'm saved for good works. Amen? I am saved by the grace of God, but I am saved for good works. And I do those good works by the grace of God as well. In the first half, we see the forgiveness that we receive. But because of that forgiveness, we're called to live a life of holiness in the second half. We're justified before God in the first half, but then we're sanctified in the second half. I hope you're taking some notes. We're released from our penalty and our burden of sin here. We're released and we're redeemed. But in the second half, we have a response. Because of our release, we have to live free according to the word of God and to the holiness of Christ. Is this helping anyone? In the first half, you have the adoration where we are adoring the Lord. But then we can't just worship God all the time. We can't just sit in our prayer closet all the time. We got to get out and do life and be a child of God. And we have to apply everything we learn. We got to apply everything we read. We got to apply everything we receive in our prayer time, in our worship time. We have to apply everything we have in the time in the presence of God. We have to get out and live life. Otherwise, let's just live in a bubble and say, hey, I'm around God 24/7. Anyone can do that? Can anyone afford to live in a prayer closet? In New York, can anyone? Many of you are smiling now. I guess some bills are due. You have to get to living. You have to get to working. And you will see that even if you are in the middle of the world, you don't have to be of the world. That's what Ephesians is telling us. In the first half, we have the divine sovereignty of God. But then in the second half, we have our human responsibility. Essentially, this is our vertical relationship, the cross. This is a beautiful picture of the cross. In the second half, it's our horizontal relationship. This is our divine relationship, our vertical relationship with our God, our Christ, our Heavenly Father. This is our relationship with people and situations in the world. I want us to just have that as a base as we continue through this series in the coming weeks. And I want to focus on just the first two verses today. Would you turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And I pray that the Lord will minister to our hearts as we dig deep into the word and let the Lord speak to us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints. Someone say saints. Who are in Ephesus and faithful. Someone say faithful. Faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. That's where we're going to park ourselves for the next few moments. The first thing I want to share with each and every one of us today, for those that are questioning our value, our place, our worth, we are called to be saints of God. We talked about vision and Vision Sunday and vision for your life. But here's something that God has a vision for our life. I'm thankful God has a vision for my life. God has a purpose for my life and his vision for my life. If there was a question, what is God's vision for my life? It would simply be put into these two words that we're called to be the saints of God. Would anyone call you Saint Joseph? Call you Saint Sheen? Saint Kieran? Would anyone call us saint our name? Huh? Not even our spouse on our best day would call us saints. Right? Not even our parents, not even our kids would call us saint anything. Amen? But God has called us to be saints of God. Why? Because saints means simply this. We are called to be set apart to belong to God. It is a sense of belonging. And for so many in the world, so many in the church, there are many people that are still yearning to belong. They come into a crowd, they come into jobs, they come into churches, they come into a home, they come into friendships and relationships, they come into all these circles where people are there, numbers are there, but still there's a sense of loneliness. I pray that the Spirit of God will speak to us. That even though I'm in the middle of the crowd, I'm lonely. But even if I'm alone, I'm not, because God is with me. And if God is with me, I'm not alone. Set apart to belong to God. Set apart simply means, like the word we've been saying, consecrated. And the Lord's desire is for us to be saints. He wants us to be a saint, Sister Rose. He wants us to be a saint, Brother Ashok. He wants us to be a saint. Not like religions would deify us and glorify us and put us in the annals of Christianity, but that we would be called saints of God by the mouth of God and saying, you are a child of God. You have been set apart and you belong to me now. It's not about title saint. It's about our position of being a saint and belonging to God. But if you are a saint, you belong to Jesus. There are some expectations that come with it. How many know there are expectations with all your identities? All your identities, right? I've met with men who are husbands and we've talked about our expectations as husbands. Amen? There are going to be expectations on women. There are going to be expectations on children. There are going to be expectations on leaders. There's going to be expectations. There are expectations as a coworker, as an employee, as a family member. There are expectations. Life comes with expectations. We have to be okay with that. But also, if you're a saint, you belong to Jesus, what should you expect? First thing is this, what should you expect from the world? If you belong to Jesus, what should you expect from the world? Let me tell you and show you what the Bible says. First thing, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. Just note these scriptures down. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild. How many of you are thankful for some former friends? Eh? Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. One thing you should expect from the world is ridicule. If you belong to Jesus, you will be ridiculed. Number two, 1 Peter 2:12. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. The second thing we should expect from the world is slander. Because you set apart yourself and you belong to God, you will be ridiculed and you will be slandered by the world. But Jesus also said, John 15:19, the world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. If you belong to the world will love you. But you are no longer of the world. I chose you, God says. And I want to echo those words of Jesus to somebody here in this place. God, Jesus has chosen you to come out of the world so it hates you. Expect ridicule, expect slander, expect hate from the world because you belong to Jesus. That's what you should expect from the world. But I'm thankful that I have also some things that I can expect from God. The world is going to do those things, but there's some things that God is going to do on the other side. Amen? God is going to do, he's going to intercede for me. He's going to give me faithful care. John chapter 17, there's a portion there. I'm going to read verse 15, but if you read it in context, Jesus is praying for his disciples. How many of you thankful Jesus is praying for you? How many of you thankful Jesus is praying for you? Can you believe Jesus is interceding for you and I right now? Not your grandma. Huh? Not your parents, not your brothers and sisters when there's a prayer request. Oh, yes, can you pray for me? Or, you know, these days I have to ask permission from the people, can we pray for you? In the old days, you just pray. But that's out of respect and due to privacy and all those things, I understand that. But you have to understand, more than anyone else here on earth praying for you, my Savior, my Redeemer, my healer, my provider. Can that get in our head? It's Jesus is praying for his disciples, for you and I. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, Jesus is saying, but to keep them safe from the evil one. How many of you have heard my mom say that her prayers for her grandchildren are this? It's a crazy world. It's not the world that she raised her kids up in. And she's praying for her grandkids that they would just be kept safe. I'm thankful for a mom and a grandma that prays that prayer. But I'm thankful more than grandma that Jesus Christ is praying that similar prayer for not just one grandchild or seven, but for all of his children in the Lord in Christ Jesus. Jesus is praying for me. Hallelujah. So even if I forget to pray for you, forgive me. But I'm thankful the Lord is praying for you. Even if you forget to pray for me, it's okay. But I'm thankful my God is praying for me. Hallelujah. Should expect his prayers, his cares. You're being cared for by the Heavenly Father because you are his children. You are a child of God. Listen, I just want this to get into our spirit, and I want this to get through all the clutter of our mind, get through the burdens of our heart, get through the mess of our lives, and I want you to be reminded today you are a saint of God, but first and before you're a saint, you are a child of God. Come on, you got to walk out of this place with that assurance. I am a child of God, and if I'm a child of God, I'm a co-heir with Christ. Oh, I'm a co-heir with Christ. I can stand right alongside Jesus and say, I'm a co-heir. I can get what Jesus got. I got his inheritance. I am a co-heir with Christ. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. That's what I should expect from my God. But here's the hardest part. Yeah, the world is going to do some things. The good news is that God has some expectations. We can have some expectations from God, and he will pray for us, and he will care for us. But here's the hard part, when we put some expectations on ourselves. What you should expect is you should have some expectations of yourself. Because in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 on, it says like this, do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and that my work was not useless. Simply conduct yourself worthy of the calling of God on your life. You should expect yourself to live a life that is worthy of God's calling. Not the church's calling, not the people's expectations, not the church's expectations, but God's calling for your life. Hallelujah. And do it right and do it with all you got. When you do something, do it right and do it with all you got. Hallelujah. If you know Jesus, dear sister talked about, let it go from head knowledge to determination of our heart. You should expect this. Do it right, do it with all you got. I remember times when I was growing up with my grandfather. We were in Brooklyn, church was there, we lived there, and there'd be times he'd go out for whatever reasons, and even simply going to the grocery store. You know, I'd love to go with him, and I would go with him, and they were like, where did he go? You know, grandpa's leaving. I'd go into the room and just change my outfit and put on a shirt and tie to go to the grocery store. That's what they say. I think I have some memories of those moments. I don't do shirt and tie now these days for everything, but it's a simple reminder. If you're going to do something, not to go to the shirt and tie to the grocery store, but when you do something, when you go somewhere, carry yourself like you are the child of God. You're called to that moment. You're called to that place. When you walk it throughout the stores, let them come to you and say, oh, are you the manager? I've had that happen to me numerous times in Marshall's. No, I'm not the manager. I'm just shopping. Carry yourself in a way. Because you know, this is a practical stuff to young people, old people, any people. Carry yourself in a way that if you would meet with somebody in your crossing, in your daily life, that they would recognize there's something different about them. Not because just the way you dress or look, but the way you carry yourself with humility, but with confidence. Amen? Amen? Humility, but with confidence. That they would say, hey, there's something different. Have a smile on your face. It's not always easy. It's not, I got to tell myself, put a smile on. But you got to be able to say and carry yourself in a way. Do it with excellence. Because you serve an excellent God. But our identity is not based on our behavior. Amen? Our behavior is a reflection of our relationship. Amen. Let me say that one more time. We are not identifiable as children of God because of our behavior, but because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let our behavior be a reflection of our relationship. Amen? Let our walk be a reflection. Here's the first part, second part. Let our walk from the second part of Ephesians be a reflection of our relationship from the first part of Ephesians. Amen? The second thing we're called to do is this. To the saints who are in Ephesus, and it says, and faithful. Someone shout, faithful. Faithful. Someone shout, faithful, Sunday mornings. Faithful in Christ Jesus. Belonging to God is one side of the coin. But also being faithful, which means being devoted to God, is the other side of the coin. This is a two-sided coin. You need the water baptism, and you need the Holy Spirit baptism. You need belonging to God, but also being faithful and devoted to God. It's a two-sided coin. You have to have the intimacy between being a saint or having that relationship with God. But also that relationship with God will produce that intimacy that will allow you to respond in your life that will make you faithful and devoted to God and have a fruitful life before God and before man. If you, a saint, are faithful to God, I want to share these few thoughts with you. You're called to be faithful in the middle of opposition. You're called to be faithful in the middle of opposition. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, 27 says, above all else, you must live as citizens of heaven. Amen? Not citizens of the USA, not citizens of your motherland, but citizens of heaven. We are part of a greater kingdom, the kingdom of God. Conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Praise God. No matter what comes our way, God is calling us to be faithful in the middle of the battles of our life. You're called to be faithful no matter what comes our way. Let's stand with one spirit, with one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Amen. We all have part citizenships. How many of you are citizens of the United States? Citizens of the United States? Citizens of any other nation? No citizens of anywhere? Citizens, you have an allegiance to that nation. You know your citizenship can be revoked. Right? You can lose your citizenships wherever you are. For whatever reasons, you can. In the kingdom of God, I'm thankful for a merciful and a gracious God that we could be part of the kingdom of God. But he's a forgiving and loving God that we can always be forgiven by God. But there is going to come a day that our citizenship will be tested. That day in eternity, we will know which way we're going. Do we know that as a church? If not, we need to be aware of that. But if you're called as a saint of God, and you're faithful as a child of God, and you're devoted to God here on earth, I'm thankful that we will find ourselves in the right place before the throne of God in eternity in heaven with him. We're called to be faithful in leading a holy and a fruitful life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, "So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is useless." Amen? Lead a holy and a fruitful life. Whatever you do for the Lord, if you pick up the garbage, if you say a hello, if you pray for someone, if you do something in the booth, if you do something on stage, if you don't do anything no one sees, but you just pray, it is done to the Lord, and God will honor your faithfulness in that. But also you have to know your faithfulness will be tested. Your faithfulness to God will be tested. Your devotion, your belonging, your value, your relationship with God will be tested. I know this because I can ask Daniel in the Bible if his relationship and his devotion to God will be tested. I can ask a Joseph in the Bible, will his devotion to God be tested? When he's going through all those situations, when Daniel's being forced to not pray and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are you devoted to God fully, even when you got fire facing you? Are you fully devoted to God? No matter, not just in the Bible times, persecution is happening now in this nation, in many nations, in many other nations. God's people are going through persecution, and you see many people still standing and devoted to God to the point where they sacrifice their life and they give their life up because they are devoted to God. Would we, is the question. When our faithfulness to God is tested, remember this, God has been, God is, and God will always be faithful. That's why I'm thankful they sang that. I don't know if it was planned or not. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. I'm thankful for his great faithfulness in my life, in our lives. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I'm giving you a lot of scripture because I want you to have the word. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished. On the day when Christ Jesus returns. Folks, his faithfulness is the source of our strength and the source of our joy. I know life is not always going to put us in situations for us to be strong or to be joyful. We have struggles and situations in our life that will make us question and make us doubt and make us a lot of things. But if we stand on the word, if we stand on this word, God's faithfulness has been good, is good, will always be good. That's one thing I could bank on, his faithfulness. Your identity, folks, is not in your joy. Let me say it like this. Your identity is not in your happy days. Amen? Your identity is not in your sad days. Your identity is not on the mountaintop. Thank you. Your identity is not in the valley. Your identity is not on the climb up the ladder, nor is it in the demotions that you're facing. Your identity is not in the bank account, the amount in your bank account. The identity is not in how many degrees you have. Your identity is not in anything that this world can give you, but your identity must be found in the truth and the promises of God, and let that be the source and also the incentive for us to live a joyful life. Hallelujah. So I close with this question. I started with the message title, "Who Am I?" But I close with this question, "Who are you?" You're asking yourself, "Who am I?" But the question is, who are you? God calls you. Like I said, God's vision for your life is for you and I to be a saint of God, to be faithful to God. But how many also know that as much as God wants you to be those things, the devil is also at work against our life? And I want to close with a reminder the devil wants you to belong and be devoted to him as well. That's the truth. That's a constant battle for our lives every day. The devil wants to limit your thinking. He wants to hinder your capacity to believe. He wants to remind and torment you of your failures. How many of us struggle with it? No show of hands. How many struggle with he reminds us and torments us of our past failures, our past mistakes, our past falls, our embarrassing situations, our things that we failed at. The devil is good at reminding us. He's also good at telling us you will not pass the test of faithfulness. But when he tells you that, I want you to remember and rely on the Holy Spirit. Because in Zechariah chapter 4, it says, it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Your identity is started in Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what draws you to that relationship. But your daily living is also going to be continuing because of the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And the devil is going to say, you're a sinner, and that is your identity. Your past, remember that past? Remember that mistake? Remember the guilt and the shame tied to that? The devil is going to say, that's your identity. But I want to come here to tell each and every one of us, your past is not your identity. It may be your history, but it's not your identity. God is not calling you by your history, folks. God is calling you by your destiny. I'm reminded of an old song of Donnie McClurkin. There's a line in this that says, for a saint is just a sinner who fell down but got back up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down but got back up. How many people are here that just got back up? How many thankful that God helped you to get back up? Not in my might, not in my power, but by the grace of God. I will not live or die in my past. I will not live or die in my old history or my old situations. But I am called to my God-given divine destiny. That is what God is calling me to. I want to speak into someone's life that you may have been a sinner, but God has called you to be a saint. So get back up in the power of Christ. Get back up in the resurrection power. And stand on the boldness that God has given to you. Stand on the truth of the Word of God. Stand in the identity as a child of God. And see what the Lord can do through you in this next season. Just get back up. Amen. Saints. Hallelujah. Saints. Jesus, Jesus. Saints. Amen. Saints. 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 You're not a sinner, you're a saint. You're not a sinner, you're a saint. You're not a sinner, you're a saint. Stop beating yourself up. Stop finding yourself defeated and destroyed and constantly in a fetal position because of what you found yourself dying in the past and finding yourself in the past mistakes and guilt. I want to stand here as a servant of God with the authority vested in me by the power of the Word of God. You and I are called to be saints of God. Saints. Someone shout out saints. Someone shout out saints. Say it again. Saints. Hallelujah. It's time to loosen the shackles of the past. Hallelujah. It's time to loosen the shackles of my old identity, of myself. Loosen the shackles. Break the yoke with the anointing. Let the anointing break the yoke and come out standing as a child of God. Sorry, just so passionate because I just want to see a church of people that are truly flowing in their identity, living in their identity, not living in themselves or not living in their past, but finding their new identity, in new identity in Jesus Christ. God, if you would allow us. Hallelujah. Can I just read one scripture over you as a blessing? Is that all right? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Oh, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You are, look at me. Put your Bibles down for a moment. I'm done with scripture for today. But look at me. You are a chosen generation. Young people, look. Old people, any people, look. You are a chosen generation. Say, I am a chosen generation. Let me just say this. You are a royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. You are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Forget about Princess Di and King Charles and all these other royalties. They will come and they will go. Their thrones will not last forever. But the throne of my King lasts for eternity and eternity and eternity. From the beginning to the end, He's on the throne. So I am a royal priesthood because I am a child of the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. I want to say you are a holy nation. Folks, you need to be set apart from the world. Don't be found doing things of the world in the world. I'm telling you right now. Don't be found doing things in the world, of the world, with the world. You as a child of God that has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That was a costly payment to pay. Do not cheapen it with your actions that will cheapen the grace of God. You are a holy nation. Say, I am a holy nation. You are His own people. You're not just the Israelites in the Old Testament times. In the New Testament, as Gentiles, we were saved by grace because of the cross. I'm thankful for the Israelites. I'm thankful for the Jewish people. But I'm also thankful for the cross that called me a Gentile and into His marvelous light. Oh, say, I am special. Oh, you guys have a hard time saying that. Come on, say it. I am special. Hey, wake up. Say, I am special. Oh, like you mean it. Not like someone's telling you you're special because they have to because it's your birthday or it's your anniversary. You're special, dear. It's the one time a year you say it. Come on, say, I am special. Hey, Robin, say, I'm special. Patty, come on, I am special. How about Reema? I am special. Brother George, I am special. Not I am special, but I am is in me. He makes me special. Oh. But because I'm special, I'm holy, I'm chosen, I'm royal, I get to do one thing. I get to proclaim the praises of Him who has called me. Would you stand to your feet right now? Hey, someone say, I'm chosen. Come on, shout it. I'm chosen. I say, I'm royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I am special. You believe it? You believe it? Anyone believe it? I need some believers in it. Anyone believe it? Can you proclaim the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light? Can you proclaim the praises? Forget about the song coming. Can you proclaim the praises right now? Proclaim the praises of Him. Proclaim the praises of Him. Come on, open your mouth and proclaim, proclaim. Proclaim means open your mouth with a loud voice and shout and declare. Could you open your mouth and proclaim that He has saved you, He has kept you, He has provided for you? Come on, He's made you a saint. He's made you faithful. Hallelujah. He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I am who I am says I am. You get that? Let's say it together. I want us to close our eyes and just say this. I am. Now point your fingers to the skies. Who I am. Now put your hand back on your heart. Says I am. Let's do that one more time. We're going to do action song. Ready? Hand over your heart. I am. Finger to the sky. Who I am. Back to your heart. Says I am. Teach that to your kids this week. Make up a song, any tune, then tell Georgie we'll write a song of us. I am who I am, says I am. Amen? I'm not what people say. I'm not what my past says. I'm not what my resume says. I'm not what the world says. I'm not what my boss says. I'm not what my friends say. I'm not what I say. I'm not what my spouse says. I'm not what my children says. I'm not what my parents say. I'm not what my worship pastor says. I'm not what my pastor says. I am who I am, says I am. Spirit of the living God, I pray that that gets set deep in your spirit.
Thank you for joining us this week on the One Church podcast. We hope you were blessed by this message and would take a moment to share it with others. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Spotify at One Church LI, or you can find more information on our website, onechurchonline.com. If you are ready to give your life to Jesus and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, please contact us at info@onechurchonline.com. Here at One Church, our vision is to see Jesus. We exist to reach the one with the love of Jesus and for all to live like Jesus. We want to see Jesus in each other, and we pray and believe that there is more for you.